Hey everyone, welcome back to Shots That Go to the Movies. I'm your host Rachel, and joined as always,
I'm my producer and co-host, aka.
Hey, what up?
Gucci.
You know, same old, same old. Gonna pull out all-nighter today to write a 3,000-word paper.
Me at the last essay. Yeah. At the last episode, except I didn't make it.
We kept you for too long. For way too long.
My professor ghosted me.
What?
Yeah, because I emailed him the next day and was like, oh no, I was busy. I had work. I thought I could do it. And he ghosted me.
That's fucked up.
Because he sends an email to the whole class the next day about like class being canceled or something. Yeah.
I almost didn't cuss a second ago because I still thought we were in the radio
still
show.
Doing the radio show.
Even though
you said fucking yesterday?
Yeah.
Nice. You said it so like casually. You just kept going and me and Charlie were like, oh, that's going to...
Cuss words are like my and mms. They're my fucking... See? They're my fucking pauses in a fucking sentence. So like whenever I'm thinking over a sentence, I use a lot of cuss words.
Yeah.
Anything new happen recently? You went to a convention.
Sebastian Stan and I did it to him.
You did it to him.
We did it to him. No, yeah, I went to a convention.
What's it called?
Pandemic Tour.
Pandemic Tour.
Pandemic with an F.
Oh, fuckdemic.
The owner is a douchebag. He's there the whole time. It's a smaller con. But so like the owner literally is there the whole time walking around. Okay. He seems cool, but he's an asshole.
Aren't all convention owners like pieces
he's
of shit?
He's got all our money.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I went to a convention. I cosplayed as Peter B. Parker. Like 5 people at the convention understood that.
Oh.
It's okay. I don't care.
You needed a thing that gave you a fat belly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm too small for that.
Like that would. Yeah, you put it in your onesie. Like
yeah.
Just put a bunch of clothes inside.
Yeah.
Make it look like cellulite.
I have cellulite, though. Anyway, I actually do. It doesn't...
Yeah,
it's not
I know.
On your
it's,
stomach,
but
man.
It's the
it's
wrong
on your, it's
place.
On the back of your thighs.
Yeah, but that's the wrong cellulite I'm talking about.
Stretch marks.
No, I'm talking... Yes.
Like a beer gut.
Yeah, yeah. Like a... Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. Yes.
Now everyone is just thinking about your cellulite, so congratulations.
What woman doesn't have cellulite?
Facts.
It's should... almost impossible for someone of my gender to actually
hashtag
not have cellulite.
I have cellulite.
Yeah.
Hashtag represent all women.
Yes. Anyways, yeah, so I went to the convention, met Sebastian Stan again. He was very nice. He was very confused. So I walked into the photo op booth and I'm like, he hugged me and like was all like nice, and I guess the default pose that most people do is like one of the like side hug type things.
Yeah, the Christian hug.
Yeah, and he started to do that, and I was like, no, can we do it to him? And I was doing it to him the whole time I was standing there, and he's like, what? I was like, can we do it to him? And he still had like one of his arms around me, and the other one like he started reaching towards my hands.
Uh-huh.
And he's like this, and I was like, no, do it to him. And then he finally did it to him, and then it was really awkward, and then I left.
You didn't even explain it?
I'm getting there.
Okay.
And then, so later on during the autograph that I had for him, where, you know, he signs my picture that we took, I'm like, he started signing it, and I was just like, we did it to him. And he's like, this picture is hilarious. And I'm like, we did it to him. He's like, what is that? I was like, it's a meme, you do it to him. And every time I said we did it to him, I did it to him. And then I like let go of my hands and I was like back to normal. But every time I said we did it to him,
that's classic.
I was doing it to him. That's and classic. He was like, okay. And then the lady who worked at the convention who was standing next to him was like, what is it? And I was like, it's a meme. You're doing it to him. And he's like, that is ridiculous.
We love bringing celebrities down to meme earth.
We did it to him.
We did it to him. And then you met Samwise Gamgee.
Aston.
Samwise the Gamgee.
I forgot. I didn't realize until afterwards. Well, actually, yesterday. He was an Encino Man.
Yeah.
I love Encino Man.
Oh, okay.
This is kind of a hot take, but I think Pauly Shore is funny. Wow. 90s Pauly Shore. I mean.
Okay. Okay.
I think his gimmick is kind of funny.
All right.
But anyways.
I respect that.
Anyways, I like Sean Astin. He's great. There's a Sean Astin for every generation. You know, we got the Goonies, then Rudy, and then Lord of the Rings, and now Stranger Things, unfortunately. Most of the people in the photo op line for him were in Stranger Things get-ups. Some of them were in cosplay. Some of them just had Stranger Things, like, merch. But, yeah. So I was going to do it to him with him. Mm-hmm. And that was my plan going into it. And then I walked in and he was the nicest. Literally, I say this a lot every time I meet new people. But, like, this, genuinely, Sean Astin is the nicest person I've ever met. I walk in and he's like super grateful immediately. He's just like, thank you for coming. And he, like, gives me, like, the tightest hug. Like, and then we did the side hug pose. But he was like... like a real hug. Uh huh. So he was super. So I was just like, we're not doing it to him.
We love Samwise.
He was
Gamgee.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And then
he's the hero of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. And so I'm gonna walk you through this one again.
Okay.
So I walked in and, you know, I'm wearing my Spider-Man suit and he's like right before the camera clicks, he's like, Spider-Woman, Spider-Man. I'm just like, yeah. And then the camera clicks and he's like, Spider-Person. And then he, like, said thank you to me again. And, like, he didn't hug me as we walked out. But he did, like, the handhold thing that's, super, like, nice. You know what I mean? And then I walked out. And so then during the autograph, I, like, walk up and I sent a picture there. He just goes, like, Spider-Person, Spider-Person.
Wow.
And then so on my picture, he signed his name. And then he put an arrow to himself. And then he wrote you and an arrow to me. And he's like, in case you need help telling the difference. I was like. The cinnamon roll man. He's the nicest person I've ever met.
Yeah, he's the best part. He's the hero of Lord of the Rings. You know how they tried to make Neville the hero of Harry Potter?
Yeah.
And it kind of didn't work because
he was.
But it was kind of like felt like a last minute thing instead of like a whole setup.
Yeah.
Sam was always the hero, and we all knew it, except everyone in Lord of the Rings didn't know it, but then they knew it, and then and then we're like, you knew. That's foreshadowing for a second segment, shall we get into Hot Topic?
Sponsored. Yes, but I mean, on top of that, my life is going great right now.
Oh, that's good. I'm excited.
I'm very happy right now.
I'm very stressed
very
right now.
Very happy with my life right now, which is funny because, yeah, people around me's lives are falling apart.
My life isn't falling apart, but...
But, like you know, like, bad. You know, things are stressful for other people, and I'm just sitting here just like, oh, things are going good for me for once.
Stress is a part of...
life.
I don't know. It's a dumb... I wouldn't say I'm not happy. Yeah, I wouldn't say that. I would say I'm like, because I'm like sleeping 10 hours every day, which is
that sounds amazing. I've been sleeping a lot too.
I've been just chilling at home, which is it's amazing. This level of comfortability has made me lazy enough that I haven't been doing my work the way I'm supposed to be doing my fucking work. But yeah.
Well, mine's the same, except I'm busy a lot now. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm half-assing my work. It's because once I have a little bit of free time, I'm like, oh, fuck.
Dude. College is all about figuring out how to half-ass in the best way. It's mid-maxing.
Yeah.
Mid-maxing college life.
Unless you're a biology major.
How'd you say anything. That? Could you say that one more time for me?
Unless you're a biology major really any STEM major, you can't half-ass that.
Biology major.
Biology. Let's not get into my bad accents.
Let's get to, shall we get to Hot Topic, sponsored by Hot Topic?
Not sponsored
in the
by
future,
Hot Topic.
One day. Come
when
on.
When they remember that they're following me?
Yeah. Hit us up, Hot Topic.
Hit us up. Hit me up.
Yeah.
Slide in my DMs.
Not like that.
Slide in my DMs in a friendly way.
Yeah, you don't want Hot Topic
in a business thing. Professional way.
Yeah.
Anyways, so
slide into my Bumble business.
A Hot Topic
account. Did you know that that's a thing on Bumble?
That's a thing.
Yeah. So Bumble has three settings. There's Bumble Date, Bumble Business, and Bumble BFF. And Bumble BFF is like the Tinder thing where you look for friends.
Yeah.
But Bumble Business is people like basically swiping left and right on each other's like startup companies to work together. Like investors.
That's the most millennial thing.
Yeah.
I have ever heard.
Yeah. And there are people who use it. It's wild.
Oh my God.
It's crazy, dude.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Anyways, speaking of something that nobody asked for.
Facts.
Sequels.
This podcast. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It was right there. I'm so sorry.
No, you're good.
I'm so sorry. It was right there. All right. Let's go. Yo, maybe this is why I hate Red Letter Media so much. It's because we basically do the same thing. And I want them to not exist so we can take their place. We could be the new Red Letter Media.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Sequels.
Yeah, a bunch of
2019 is the year of sequels.
Yeah, but like this week, oddly enough, like as we're heading into like Oscar season, the most like no one ever thought this would be a sequel or wanted a sequel possibly of these movies getting sequels. Angelina Jolie has pretty much not acted in a decade.
Yeah.
And then
I
think Maleficent was the last movie she did.
Oh my God.
The original Maleficent was the last movie she did. Which was like 2014, 2013, yeah. Something like that. And now she's back for the sequel, Maleficent, Mistress of Evil. It's a big budget extravaganza about the villain from Sleeping Beauty. How much did this movie cost? Let's see. What's the budget for this movie?
A lot.
Yeah, I assume, because like a lot of the CGI that I'm looking at right now looks pretty, impressive and all this stuff. Yeah, it costs $185 million to make.
Oh, wow. I'm never going to see that much money in my life.
It's weird, right? This movie...
Unless I get very lucky, which I won't.
Like 10 years ago, when we were in high school, this type of movie would have been made with $70 million. Inglourious Basterds was made with $75 million, which is a lot. Like,
it's still a lot of money.
Yeah, you talk to people and they're like a lot of independent... like reviewers and critics, they're still like $35 million is still a lot of money.
Yeah.
And now like Disney is like shattering that every other month.
We should try to make the lowest budget movie of all time.
Robert Rodriguez made a movie with $400.
We can
do mariachi. I'm pretty
we
sure
can do better.
There's an Australian director, if I remember correctly, who made a movie.
Her mockumentary will have a budget of $1.
I think he made it with $0. Oh. Yeah.
We'll make it with negative dollars.
Oh, we'll give people...
We'll make it with Bitcoin.
Oh, you know what we'll do? we'll give people money. To like...
Out of our own pockets.
Yeah.
Not production company money, because we're not going to get any of that.
Yeah. No.
That's the whole purpose.
Oh, shit. I should call the production company I had lined up to fund our movie. this one costs... And then the other sequel that just came out recently is Zombieland Double Tap, the sequel to the 2000.
That one I was not expecting at all.
They've been talking about making this sequel for like a decade at this point, which is literally...
I never
like
heard about it.
Yeah, like as soon as...
But I mean, until we started our radio show, which... Again, go listen to Shasta Picture Show, Mondays at noon on CougRadio.com.
Yeah.
Featuring us two and Charlie.
And Charles, that's his name from now on.
We get your latest in movie news. But yeah, until we started the radio show, I didn't pay that much attention to movie news.
Yeah, and this movie costs almost $50 million to make, which is still a lot of money.
I mean, at this point in my life, $100 looks like a lot of money.
Facts. Let's see how much the original Zombieland was made with. The original Zombieland was made with $23 million, half the budget of this. Also, it's weird, the banner picture for the original Zombieland is two, like, booth babes dressed as zombies.
What year was it?
2009.
Oh, okay.
They have the longest torsos I've ever seen in my entire life. This woman's torso doesn't end.
Well, I mean, like, one of the first bits in the movie is his, like, next-door neighbor, his hot next-door neighbor coming in and then turning into a zombie.
Also, both these girls have a Zombieland tattoo.
Jesus
Christ. Do people get Zombieland tattoos?
Ugh.
Yeah. Also, what? Until World War III in 2013.
What?
Wait, what? Oh, the film premiered at Fantastic Fest on September 25th, 2009, and was theatrically released in October in the United States. Zombieland was a critical and commercial success, grossing more than $60 million in 17 days and surpassing the 2004 Zack Snyder classic Dawn of the Dead as the top grossing film, zombie film in the United States until World War Z in 2013. So wait, if World War Z was such a fucking success.
I don't remember hearing about it being a success, but I guess Brad Pitt.
Yeah, I guess it might have not been a success for Brad Pitt, but why are they making a sequel to World War Z then?
Because I guess it made a lot of money.
Yeah.
And Brad Pitt?
It had a budget of $190 to $200.
Brad Pitt is killing it this year.
$69 million. Wow. It grossed $540 million. I think by the margins, like by ratios, that's actually not great. They only made half, double what they had invested in the movie.
Wow. Yeah. Anyways, so why I was saying this is the year of sequels.
Go ahead.
You got Glass. Lego Movie 2. The sequel to Happy Death Day.
Oh.
The third movie in How to Train Your Dragon. Avengers Endgame.
Wasn't it the fourth? I think this is the fourth.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Avengers Endgame. John Wick 3. A Dog's Journey. Godzilla.
Secret Lives of Pets 2.
Yeah. Dark Phoenix. Men in Black International. Which is technically a sequel.
It is.
Shaft. Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
Annabelle Comes Home.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Spider-Man Far From Home.
Oh, you're still going.
Hobbs and Shaw.
Jesus.
Angry Birds 2.
Those were all like major releases.
The 47 Meters Down sequel, which I didn't even know that the first movie even made any money. Angel Has Fallen. It Chapter 2. Rambo Last Blood.
All of these movies were in the box office.
Maleficent Mistress of Evil. Zombieland. Terminator Dark Fate, Doctor Sleep, Charlie's Angels, which is a reboot, but it still counts.
Yeah.
Frozen 2, Jumanji.
All these movies.
Star Wars. There's more.
Technically Joker.
That's the end of the list. Technically Joker.
Joker.
But
all of these movies, made it. All these movies ended up on the box office.
Well, some of them haven't released yet, but they will be on the box office.
Yeah.
Frozen 2.
You're telling me Frozen 2. Charlie's Angels,
Doctor Sleep, 100%.
Oh, and Rise of the Skywalker.
Jumanji, Rise of the Skywalker. Yeah. Rambo Last Blood was on the box office, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was. So was Angel Has Fallen.
For like 3 weeks. Which is... in the top five.
What a racist fucking movie.
Yeah. Yikes.
Sorry, I just saw a story and I totally fucking forgot about this. It said Game of Thrones star joins the Lord of the Rings. And I'm like,
yeah.
Are they making a...
I don't remember.
And then I read...
Who was it? Somebody.
It's Joseph Mao who played Benjamin. Benji. Benji Stark. He just joined.
Benjen.
Yeah.
Benjen.
He just
joined. The one that looks a little bit like Keanu.
Yeah, and I just remembered that it was an Amazon. It's an Amazon original series about Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
I will not watch Lord of the Rings without Viggo Mortensen.
I didn't know Viggo Mortensen was in that movie until the other day, and I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he's Aragorn.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
He dropped off hard.
What?
Viggo Mortensen.
What do you mean he dropped off hard?
Wasn't he in Green Book? That's a drop-off.
But I made the same case about Mahershala Ali, and people got mad at me. Viggo Mortensen did Eastern Promises after okay, Lord of the Rings. Drop off. Yeah, let's do this because I love both Viggo and Mahershala.
Mahershala gets a pass because he actually feels bad about, like, he actually apologized and is like, I feel terrible for doing this movie. Yeah. I don't want to have an Oscar for this movie. Viggo Mortensen still sitting there.
I feel like white actors have a tendency to defend. Like, Joaquin Phoenix has been defending the Joker, which is sad.
Very.
But so here's what we'll do. Compromise. Compromise. Let's compromise and say the Green Book was a monumental, unabided by just mistake. By both of them. They both got drunk one night, did something that they regretted in the morning, and the Oscars just wouldn't let them forget it.
Okay.
And so they had to stick to their guns. And it's kind of like when Michael Peña was in Crash and it was sad to watch him almost ruin his career. That's what Green Book is for those two.
I've never seen Crash, but people have been bringing it up to me a lot lately. A lot. A lot of people have mentioned Crash to my face recently. And
I've mentioned it a lot recently.
You have. Other people have. And I'm like, oh my God.
Crash is like the classic like Green Book example of movie that has shit message but thinks it's woke, winning Academy Award for Best Picture. Which is apparently going to happen again. Apparently, this is the trend we're moving into. At least, like, as much as I hate fucking nostalgia, at least, like, in 1979, everyone knew The Godfather was going to win the Oscar. Because it's the fucking Godfather. But in 2019, somehow, we're debating that it shouldn't be Hustlers or The Lighthouse or fucking Western Stars or The Kill Team. No, it should be fucking Joker that wins the Academy Award. That's an actual conversation people are having.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, the fact that apparently people are still in the Robert Downey Jr. boat for the Oscars.
Okay. We're not... I don't even want to exist in that. You know how you feel...
You know how far away we are from April? No, that conversation ended as soon as it began.
You know how you feel about Star Wars? Like, you're like, any Star Wars news, it's like...
Goes over my head.
I'm under a rock. That's right there.
Yeah.
I put it in that... I'm not even going to entertain that universe. And when it happens...
Okay, can we say something, though?
Uh-huh.
After this episode, we're never bringing up Green Book again. I'm tired of talking about that movie.
But why not? How?
What else are we going to say about Green Book?
Not about Green Book, but like, how do you crystalline explain a shit disaster that wins an award for being a shit disaster better than Green Book?
Like, we can put it on hold until February.
Okay, but here's my last bit about it. The Oscars thought they had a moonlight home run with Green Book.
Yeah.
And they really made sure. They even had, what the fuck is his name? Warren Beatty?
Warren Beatty. They had him back.
Come out to say, the Black People movie won again. And they picked the wrong one. They literally thought they had a home run.
Yeah.
And they fucked it up.
God, they had Warren Beatty come back.
Yeah, he presented that award without what's her name? Without Jane Fonda this time.
It wasn't Jane Fonda.
Who was it?
I don't remember. But it wasn't.
It was Bonnie and Clyde. Whoever Bonnie was. I don't remember who Bonnie was.
Hold on, let me look it up. That was 2017, right?
I think it was 2018.
No, 2018 wasn't La La Land or Moonlight.
Oh, you're talking about Moonlight and La La Land. That was 2017. When did Shape of Water win?
2018.
So when did Green Book win? 2019? Oh, right. Right. 2019 means 2018. 2018 means 2017. 2017 means 2016. Right. Oscars be weird.
No,
like
it
that.
Doesn't say. I don't feel like looking any further.
Yeah.
But Warren matter. Beatty was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they thought they had a home run. That's all I'm going to say. And
they think that a lot.
And this year with Joker, they think they're going to get a home run. Remember when Heath Ledger won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor for The Dark Fucking Knight and people gave him a standing ovation? Do you actually think that that room actually is in touch with anything anyone wants ever?
No.
Exactly.
Is there a rule in the Academy that you can't vote in a category you're involved in? You know what I mean? Like you can't vote for yourself?
Yeah,
or like a movie that you're involved in?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
I don't know why I think
because you can't.
A lot.
I don't think because they count votes a little differently, so you can't. You might have a conflict of interest.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also they have what I call the worst voting system in the world, which is a tiered voting system.
Yeah.
Which is just basically like, not everyone's favorite is going to win. Not even the worst one is going to win. The worst one is never going to win. Except Green Book won. It's the safe option. The safe option is always going to win the Oscar. Yeah.
This is why, I mean, it's only acting, but like, this is why I think the SAG awards are like the most important.
Okay.
Because it's actually
Yeah. I usually feel it's, but
I mean, it's a choice awards basically, but
yeah. But like, for instance, like this year at the SAG, this year at the SAG, like Lighthouse isn't going to win best ensemble cast.
It's still
going to
be Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah. It's going to be either. Well, is it? Because for actor, yes. But like for best ensemble cast.
I don't know.
What movie had a large ensemble cast this year? Maybe it hasn't come out yet.
Maybe.
Maybe it's Doctor Sleep.
Maybe.
No, stop. I don't stop know. Letting Stephen King retcon The Shining.
I don't care about Stephen King.
Yeah, yeah, no, not you. You here is for the people listening. Stop letting for Hollywood, actually. Stop letting Stephen King try to retcon The Shining.
Hollywood doesn't give a shit about us.
Well, once we get sponsored by Hot Topic.
Once Hot Topic gives us some damn money.
Yeah, then they can't ignore us because I am friend. My friend's friend is Sebastian Stan. Okay.
You're 2 degrees away.
Yeah, I'm 2 degrees away from Sebastian Stan fucking, what's her name? From the Bronze.
Melissa Rauch.
Yeah, Melissa Rauch. I'm 2 steps away from that.
You're 3 from her.
I'm 3 from her.
The way it works is like, even though I've met Sebastian Stan, I'm still 1 degree from him. There's no 0 degrees.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's always just 1.
But I'm talking about Sebastian, not Melissa. But like, I'm that close to the man who fucked Melissa Rauch.
Fake fucked.
Fake fucked. Gymnast actually fucked.
It was gymnast, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I love showing that movie to people.
If James Franco directed The Bronze, they would have.
No,
and it would have been an orgy scene.
And it would have been 18-year-olds.
James Franco should go to jail.
Yeah,
he should stop ruining American cinema.
Yeah,
a lot of people should stop ruining American cinema.
Anyone who wants to make a sequel or a reboot or a remake,
or anyone who made Green Book.
Yeah.
Do you know that the producer of Green Book perpetuated a conspiracy theory that there were Muslims cheering and clapping their hands during 9/11? Sorry, I keep mentioning Green. I apologize. Okay, I promise you. Starting right now.
You're ready for Green Book 2?
Starting right now, I'm not going to mention Green Book.
Oh my God.
But yeah, useless sequels.
You know who would have done Green Book instead of Viggo? Gary Busey. I feel like he would do a Green Book.
Yeah, he would definitely do a Green Book. That movie's terrible. Yeah, I don't know who's been clamoring for. I mean, it's making money. It's beat Joker at the top of the box office. But who is out here like clamoring for a Maleficent Mistress of like sequel?
The Gen Xers who want to cosplay as Maleficent.
Facts. It's I don't get it because like Toni Collette
and the diehard Michelle Pfeiffer fans.
Toni Collette should be getting more roles, and yet we got Angelina Jolie and Scarlett Johansson out here making $100 million movies.
There's a meme of a screenshot from her crying in the trailer for Marriage Story. Mm-hmm. And the meme is, what do you mean I can't play a transgender man? Woman? Jesus
Christ. Yeah. I genuinely am confounded by the existence of some of these movies. And like, why do we need a Frozen 2? And why is it so grimdark? Why is it like Elsa has
the
to deal with...
The only sequels, in my mind, of children's movies that get passes are the ones made by Lord and Miller. Because they actually do them well.
Sure. Yeah, but then I'd rather Lord and Miller like not waste their time with sequels and do new things. Like I'm excited for the second Spider-Verse movie, but is it genuinely going to be? Am I going to have the same feeling walking in?
No.
As I felt the first time I saw Spider-Verse.
You're never going
to
feel that again.
It's never going to happen. It's like I'm going to need a time machine to return in time and forget that Spider-Verse ever existed, and then watch it again for the first time to get that feeling again.
Mostly for me. Even though, obviously, I'm a diehard Spider-Man person. Mm-hmm. Spider-Bitch. Mostly for me, it's just that, you know, I've been a big fan of them for a long time. Mm-hmm. So it's me also being excited for the whole Spider-Verse thing. Mm-hmm. As long as they stop with these fucking live-action villain movies. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Tom Hardy, but no.
Venom. Like, Venom.
It's mostly just me being happy for my faves.
Aw.
Supportive of Lord and Miller.
Aw. She's supportive of her zaddies.
Gross. You know, they make great movies, man.
You know in private you be calling him zaddy. No. Yeah, you know.
I did have a little crush on Phil Lord.
Yeah, you. I was about to make a very mean joke. Yeah. That's the thing, though. Like, I
will admit, I didn't see the sequel to Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, but I think that's the only bad sequel they've had, or bad movie that they've had, because I don't think it did very well.
Yeah. Also, like, here's the
thing. But, like, the first Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, and then Lego Movie, and Lego Movie 2, kind of, and Jump Street, and 22 Jump Street, and Spider-Verse, and what else did they make?
Like, did you say Lego Movie?
Yeah.
Did you say... No, that's it.
They have a lot of shows too.
Yeah.
Son of Zorn.
Yeah.
They have a new show called Bless the Hearts.
And also they're gonna do the Spider-Verse TV show.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
They have their 5-year deal with
I'm not against the idea
Sony.
Of sequels. I'm not against the idea. I'm not one of those like it always has to be.
I mean, the Godfather 2 happened.
Yeah, exactly. The Godfather 2 exists, and thus all sequels forever are justified.
And Shrek 2 happened.
Yeah, and thus all other cartoon sequels are justified forever. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. It's like, it's just like, why are we spending, again, why are we spending $185 million on a Maleficent film that like is literally like inconsequential to any of the canon of cinema? It's a CGI fucking fuckfest where a bunch of dude bros are gonna like fucking fantasize about Angelina Jolie in that latex suit, and a bunch of women are gonna wanna dress up as her in their 40s in Comic-Con.
Think about what production company you're talking about for a second.
But like Disney.
Disney does not belong in this conversation because they're the worst of it. So it's like there's no point.
But you can do better. Disney, you
Once
can do
he
better.
Fucking died, they threw everything out the window. They're at the bottom of the barrel, just scraping.
He was kind of a dick, though.
He was, but like... He had a vision, you know?
Yeah, sure.
You know, it's hard to explain because he was a dick. But like...
No, I get it. I get it. I get it.
He had his original... Like,
he had
wanted
passions
to be...
for things. Yeah. He had a passion for things.
And then he died. And who was it? Michael Eisner? Whoever. Who was the CEO right after he died?
It wasn't Eisner after him. Was it Eisner after
him? No. It might have, was it his brother?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think or did his brother die before? Anyways, it was some, but like as soon as Walter died, they were just like, fuck you. Fuck your passion. Fuck your vision. And now, all these years later, Bob Iger is just like, give me money. Give me your children's money. Give me your children's pocket money.
How much is Robert Iger worth? Does it tell me how much he's worth? Oh, no, it tells me his salary. His salary is $65.6 million a year.
Jesus Christ.
What is that?
What is Kevin Feige's?
Give me one second. I need to see.
Who's the CEO of Marvel?
That's that.
Is it Bob Iger?
No. It's like, this is a very infamous story. The CEO of Marvel is like a millionaire who's like, famously like very private, so like there's a bunch of people who try to find pictures of him.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Kevin
Feige.
Feige. Let's see. Salary.
Remember that one year when Jennifer Lawrence was the highest paid actress?
Kevin Feige.
Sorry, I just, because we're thinking about. We're
yeah.
Talking.
Kevin Feige is an American film producer who has been the president of Marvel Studios since 2000. The films he's produced have been combined for a worldwide box office gross of over 26. Is a member. No, that's not what I mean.
We mean his salary or his net worth.
All right. Celebrity net worth. Per year, he makes $25 million.
God.
Per month, it is $2 million.
Jeez.
Per week, it is $495,000.
Oh, I've never seen
Since you arrived to this page, Kevin Feige has earned $15. Since I've started this page, and it keeps going.
It's been like
going.
30 seconds.
Yeah, and I started on 516. Still 516, he has made $25 now. Per second,
oh
he makes
God.
82 cents per second.
Oh, my God.
Per
you
minute,
know, the most amount of money I've ever seen is with my own two eyes is $1,500 because that's the inheritance I got.
Yo, per day, he makes $70,000. Per hour is $3,000.
Oh, my God.
When you break it down, yeah. His net worth is $154 million.
And I'm sitting over here scrambling for $13.25.
And no, and like we read about a bunch of people and we are in a group, we have multiple group chats in which people defend these people. They don't give a fuck about you. Like literally, okay, if Kevin Feige.
They step on us.
If Kevin Feige got fired tomorrow, if he got fired tomorrow, if for like a dumb thing, like, oh, Sony are being assholes because they didn't want to make a Spider-Man movie or whatever with Marvel, and everyone blames Kevin Feige for it. Like, Disney's like, you didn't handle this deal very well. And then they fired Kevin Feige. You definitely think we wouldn't go on a group, one of the group chats we're in, and a bunch of people would be like, fuck Sony, fuck Disney. They ruined a good man's career. And he's walking away with $154 million.
There's one specific person that comes to my mind who doesn't like Marvel. I'm not going to name them who doesn't like Marvel, but would still go off about it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be upset about it, but would be like an asshole about it.
It's so weird. It's like, it doesn't matter. Like, if Robert Downey Jr. never plays fucking Iron Man again, the dude still is worth $100 million.
God.
Isaac Perlmutter.
Did you know RDJ gets basically like a village of trailers on sets? He gets four trailers that are in a box together.
Jesus Christ.
With like a patio furniture in between. He has four. Why do you need four trailers? What do you need four trailers for?
I don't know.
What does one man need four trailers for? He's like, oh, I go take showers in this one. Take naps in this one. I go eat in this one. And then I go take a shit in this one.
Robert Downey Jr.'s net worth is $300 million. So tell me, why does it matter so fucking much that like if Robert Downey Jr. is a piece of shit and then gets fired for making movies... Or like people are like, I don't like Robert. You then sit around and like defend Robert Downey Jr. It doesn't fucking matter. Here's his salaries. Here's how his salaries exponentially rose. In Iron Man 1, he was given $500,000.
Okay.
By Iron Man 2, it was $10 million. By Iron Man 3, $75 million.
Oh my, that's a big jump.
Yeah.
From 1 to 2?
For Avengers, he made a deal with Disney in which he would get a $10 million base salary. But based on back-end bonuses and the box office for the movie, he made $50 million. Avengers Age of Ultron, 40. Just straight up 40 million. Spider-Man Homecoming, 15 million for his appearance, for his like three or four scenes. Captain America Civil War, 40 million. Avengers Infinity War, 40 million. And in Endgame, it hasn't been calculated, but at least $40 million, potentially as much as $75 million. They paid Robert Downey Jr. alone almost $100 million for one fucking movie. So
this is why, like, when I read the news about Jonah Hill saying no to Batman because of money, I rolled my eyes harder than I ever fucking have because I'm like, you're set for life. You're fine. Yeah. You're fine. We're the ones over here struggling. You're fine.
Yeah.
You're fine. You're really going to get your panties in a bunch because they won't give you $1 million. Like what? Like probably like 15. That's usually what, you know, like 15 or
yeah.
$20 million to play the Riddler. Like who gives a shit? Isn't Robert Pattinson doing it for like $15?
Mm-hmm.
Like.
Here, let's go to the new like butthurt.
This episode is a lot of me like breathing
yeah.
and sighing.
Here's Jared Leto, who recently in one of the group chats you're in, people were defending the fact that he deserves respect for being such a great actor.
Oh my God.
Jared Leto's net worth, $90 million. And he's mad because he wasn't in Joker. Like,
why?
I just don't get it.
Why are we still talking about Jared Leto in 2019?
Also, I don't understand why we play defense for complete strangers who never know we exist.
No.
Because somehow, at some point,
we're actually shit people.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Anyways, I think we should move on. Sequels are bad. They make
the vein is popping out of your forehead.
Is it?
A little bit. We should move on.
This shit really upsets me. Like, I hate the fact that, like, any criticism towards someone that anyone views is like, oh, he's so special. He's so special. It's like, it's just, get the fuck out of my face. They make millions of, like, as much as I love Brian Fuller, like, Brian Fuller could eat a dick and fucking die in a grave because, let's see. This is one of my favorite creators.
Brian Fuller?
Yeah, Brian Fuller. Not worth. Let's see. Where's celebrity net worth? Why isn't it celebrity net worth? That's the one that matters. It's celebrity net worth. Okay, he doesn't have a celebrity net worth page. So we're going to go to the first one. Give me. How much money he makes? Okay. Last year's net. Okay. Okay, his current net worth is between $1 million and $10 million.
You said give me so many times. I just went into Britney Spears mode.
Yeah, he's a Leo.
Nice.
He's...
I guess.
I thought it was going
to
be more.
I don't pay attention to astrology.
I thought he was going to be more. He's $1 million. His net worth is $1 million. Still, I will never see $1 million. Maybe, you know.
You'll see it in passing.
If Hot Topic.
As you, like, get money and spend it, you know what I mean? Over time.
But you know what?
But you won't actually have that. You will have spent it.
If Hot Topic gives us that phone call, you know what I'm saying?
Hot Topic.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I will sell out.
Should I DM them?
Facts, yeah.
Should I be DM them and be like, can you sponsor my podcast?
Yeah,
facts. You follow me, like, might as well.
Yeah, you should do that. All right. Shall we move on?
Anyway. Now onto a person actually worth defending.
All right. I closed down his fucking filmography. Okay, cool.
The fucking king. I don't know how to open this.
You don't have a segue?
No.
You don't have like an Iron Mask segue?
You knew we were going to talk about him eventually. John Malkovich.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
John Malkovich has been in a lot of movies.
Let's just go down like we did last time, I guess.
Yeah.
So his first movie was as an extra. It's called A Wedding in 1978.
Okay.
He's an extra.
I have not seen that movie.
Then 1981 Time Bandits.
Okay.
1983 Say Goodnight Gracie.
Okay.
In 1984 he was in three movies. Places in the Heart, The Killing Fields, and True West.
I know The Killing Fields. I like The Killing Fields a lot.
1985,
Eleni. Oh, I thought he played Nick Cage, but he played Nick Gage. The Glass Menagerie.
1987, The Glass Menagerie, Making Mr. Right, Empire of the Sun.
Yeah, it's a fucking sad-ass movie. Do you know that movie had a child, Christian Bale? Christian Bale plays the kid. In Empire of the Sun.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Fun fact of the week, my friends.
1988, he was in Miles from Home and Dangerous Liaisons.
Oh, I like Dangerous Liaisons.
1990, The Sheltering Sky.
The Object of Beauty.
1991, The Object of Beauty and Queen's Logic.
Mm-hmm.
1992, Shadows and Fog of Mice and Men.
That was a bad movie.
Jennifer 8 of Mice and Men.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bad I watched it in high school.
Yeah, it's bad. A very bad movie.
It's like what's he in Gilbert Grape, where like that wouldn't fly in 2019.
Facts. I mean, that book like wouldn't fly in 2019.
No. Like, he did all right in that movie, but like that wouldn't fly in 2019. Facts. Anyways, 1993, we got In the Line of Fire and Alive.
Okay, In the Line of Fire is a good movie.
1995, we have O Convento and Beyond the Clouds.
Mm-hmm.
1996, Mary Riley, The Portrait of a Lady,
Ooh,
The Ogre.
He was in A Portrait of a Lady.
Mulholland Falls.
Oh, yeah.
1997, Con Air.
Classic film. I can't argue.
1988.
Oh, he went on a run for the... Wow.
For what?
Read the list.
1998.
The Man in the Iron Mask.
Man in the Iron Mask.
Yeah.
And Rounders.
Rounders.
1999, which I think this is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
Being John Malkovich.
Spike Jonze and Andy Kaufman are legends.
Yes, which the other day, for some reason, I thought Spike Jonze directed Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, yeah. He did not. No.
He did not. Did you know Spike Jonze was in Wolf of Wall Street?
What? Oh, yeah. No.
He was, you know, when he's looking for a new job and he goes to the penny stocks place, he's the manager.
Oh, interesting.
The one who's like, if you can sell the 50 shares of this stock, I'll suck your dick.
Oh, we love Spike Jonze for that.
We love Spike Jonze. Anyways, The Messenger, the story of Joan of Arc. And I can't pronounce that, but it's
La
in
Tempest
French.
Retevoir. Yeah, this is the one I'm talking about. And if you add 2000 Shadow of the Vampire, this was a fucking run. Con Air, The Man in the Iron Mask, Rounders, being John Malkovich.
Is Man in the Iron Mask counting as a run?
No, I'm talking about like a run where like you've hit your lowest lows and your highest highs. Like,
okay.
Like this is a memorable couple of years for John Malkovich.
Okay.
When you ask someone, name John Malkovich movies, they'll mention this run.
Being John Malkovich?
Being John Malkovich, they'll mention Con Air, they'll mention Man in the Iron Mask, they'll mention Rounders, they'll mention, if they're really into like esoteric French film, they'll mention the story of Joan of Arc.
Do you think John Cusack is a good actor?
No.
But he's good in being John Malkovich.
He is, but that's because of Spike Jonze directing. Like if they had Jim Carrey in that role, I think Jim Carrey would have done a better job, but I don't think Jim Carrey's like a great actor either.
I wouldn't like Jim Carrey.
And like
in that
Eternal
movie.
Sunshine of the Spotless Mind is my favorite movie. And like, I'm not going to call it because it's one of my favorite movies because of the performance of like Jim Carrey, who was good in it. And like,
yeah,
that's
story.
All it needed. And Kate Winslet.
Yeah.
Kate Winslet carries that fucking movie.
Kate Winslet. One of my favorite things is her friendship with Leo.
Yeah, they do
Didn't
have
Didn't she win for, was it for Eternal Sunshine or was it for something else?
She was nominated for Eternal Sunshine. She eventually won in 2007
for
The
Revolutionary?
Reader.
Revolutionary?
No, it was The Reader.
Yeah.
Her
Cause
and
I
Leo.
Remember because like the videos of him getting excited for her winning and then her crying over him winning was the cutest thing.
Yeah. They both were in Revolutionary
yeah.
Road and they both got nominated, but that movie's shit.
It's not good.
That's a bad movie. Okay.
Oh, anyways.
This run now is invisible.
2001?
I don't know any of these movies.
Knock Around Guys, Hotel, I'm Going Home.
La Mains Fortes.
Thank you. 2002, The Dancer Upstairs, Hideous Man, which he narrated.
Mm-hmm.
It's a short film. Ripley's Game.
I know
I've
Ripley's.
I've heard of that.
I know Ripley. I've seen
I've
Ripley's Game, but like this run up until Hideous Man, none of these movies.
Yeah. 2003, Johnny English. Again, I can't pronounce that.
I can't believe he's in Johnny English. Where are we? Johnny
After
English.
Johnny English.
On film, Falado.
Falido. And Adaptation.
Which I love.
Which
oh my
I've
God.
Heard of.
Adaptation is written by Andy Kaufman, and I want to say it's not directed by.
Oh, Meryl Streep, Nick Cage.
Yeah, it's directed by Spike Jonze, written by Andy Kaufman. Andy Kaufman is the one who wrote Eternal Sunshine.
Does Spike Jonze make bad movies?
I think he needs Andy Kaufman. Not Andy Kaufman. Why do I keep calling him Andy? Andy Kaufman is the comedian. Fucking, where is it?
Charlie Kaufman.
Charlie Kaufman made one of my favorite animated films of all time. It's called Animalisa. It's fantastic.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
It was nominated.
But no, I don't think Spike Jonze makes bad movies. I generally think he's a fantastic director.
He doesn't make bad movies.
Yeah. And he's not a wet blanket, surprisingly. Even though he's one of the white boy directors. He's not a wet blanket like Aronofsky and Christopher Nolan and David O.
Fuck
Russell.
Fuck Aronofsky.
Ooh, you might want to have a conversation with Jack.
Who?
Zach's friend, Jack.
Oh.
Our king, our board game king. He's a huge fan of Darren Aronofsky.
Black Swan was good.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Yeah.
Mother wasn't good.
You know who gets disrespected a lot and I don't get it? The guy who directed There Will Be Blood. The master.
I don't know. I didn't know a lot of directors until like a year ago.
Give me one second. I'll find it. I promise.
Jonze does not make a bad movie.
Promise. Paul Thomas Anderson.
I've never heard of him.
He directed There Will Be Blood. He directed The Master. He directed Inherent Vice.
I've heard of Inherent Vice.
Yeah, he's directed. Wait. We're gonna go on a quick like little detour. Where's this fucking filmography? You piece of shit, Wikipedia. Come on.
Talk about Wikipedia is great. We should donate to them someday.
Filmography. There we go. All right. He hasn't directed many movies. He directed Boogie Nights.
Okay.
He directed Magnolia. He directed Punch Drunk Love with Adam Sandler, right, which I love. There Will Be Blood, The Master, Inherent Vice. He directed Phantom Thread, which is objectively...
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And his next movie is Water Lily Jaguar.
I feel like I've heard of that.
I think it's based on a novel.
Probably. A lot of movies are based on novels. Did you know that?
Oh, he's not going to direct it.
Is he producing?
He's executive producer.
Oh, okay.
For a directorial debut by a female director.
Nice.
Her name is Melora Walters in her feature film directorial debut.
That's great.
None of the cast
Good
I know.
For her.
I don't know any of the cast. James LaGrosse, Maria Sorvino, Stacey Austin, Dominic. Yeah, this seems like a whole ass new movie.
Maria Sorvino sounds very familiar though to me.
Oh, yeah, they all sound new.
No,
but
Maria Sorvino sounds familiar.
Let's see what she's done. We're going down a rabbit hole now. Is an actress. She won the Academy Award and Golden Globe for Best Supporting Actress in her Freddie Allen's Mighty Aphrodite in 1995.
That's not what I know her from, but
she's done a lot. Oh my God.
Yeah, I've heard of her.
Chloe and Theo,
no.
A Christmas to Remember. Do You Believe, Quitters, Perfect Sisters, Space Warriors, Trade of Innocence, Smitty, Union Square, Angel Crest, The Presence.
Maybe I've just heard of her.
The Last Templar?
I think I've just heard her name
before.
That's what it sucks. I don't know what any of that is.
Why the Triumph? I don't know any of this.
I just know her name, I guess. Because I've heard of her.
Yeah.
Anyways, John Malkovich.
She was in Quiz Show.
That's where I know her from.
She was in Quiz Show. She's Sandra Goodwin. I think she's his girlfriend.
Goodwin. Who is Goodwin? She might have been, what's his name's wife.
Oh, yeah.
What's the actor's name? The one who's in all those comedies with Adam Sandler.
John Turturro. He's amazing.
Anyways, I like Quiz Show.
If you like John,
I love Quiz Show.
If you like John Turturro and you liked Quiz Show, which is kind of a Coen-y,
John Turturro is okay.
You should watch Barton Fink by the Coen brothers.
Ralph Fiennes is really good actor. Right. We love Voldemort.
All right. Wow. This took us.
We love Robert Redford.
How did we get down this rabbit hole?
I don't know. Oh, Spike Jones.
Oh right.
Anyways,
adaptation.
Anyways, adaptation.
Great movie. My number one John Malkovich recommendation, watch Adaptation and Being John Malkovich.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Continue.
2004, The Libertine.
Okay.
2005, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Right, he was in that.
Color Me Kubrick and a documentary called Flipping Uncle Kimono.
Mm-hmm.
2006, Art School Confidential.
Yeah.
Aragon. Oh, that's unfortunate. Ooh. Klimt, The Call, which is that he played Gustav Klimt. That's what it is. Okay. 2007, Drunk Boat, Beowulf. Oh, gross. This is a long title. Polis is This, Charles Olson and the Persistence of Place.
Yeah.
It's a documentary. Okay. Mm-hmm. 2008, The Great Buck Howard, Gardens of the Night, In Transit, Burn After Reading.
Another Coen Brothers
Mutant
movie.
Mutant Chronicles. I saw like 5 minutes of Burn After Reading.
Reading, John, what's his name? George Clooney described it as the third film in his Coen's Idiot trilogy, which includes Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?, that movie he did with Catherine Zeta-Jones, which was also directed by the Coen brothers, and then Burn After Reading. Also has Brad Pitt in it. Everyone in this movie is a fucking moron, and I love it. I love this movie.
And Changeling?
Yeah.
2009 is Afterwards. 2010, Jonah Hex. Secretariat, which
Jonah
I liked.
Jonah Hex is...
I liked Secretariat at first because I like horses a little. I'm not a horse girl. I'm not a horse girl. No, I'm fucking not. I just like animals.
Everyone
and I was in a Kevin Connolly phase when Secretariat came out, unfortunately.
Rachel, your favorite horses.
No.
And we're going to rank them.
Amy is a horse girl.
Amy is 100% a horse girl.
I'm not.
But if you...
I'm not into horses.
If
I like...
If what you've been telling me comes to fruition...
What?
next semester, then she might turn you into a horse girl.
Anyways, no, I watched Secretariat because I was in a Kevin Connolly phase, unfortunately.
That's so weird.
I know.
That's weird.
2010, though. So.
That's weird.
Very weird. Anyways.
Jonah Hex is a comic book superhero movie set after the Civil War.
Mike and Fox is in that, right?
Yeah. And what's his name? The dude from Thanos.
Josh Brolin
is Jonah Hex.
Josh Brolin, John Malkovich, Megan Fox, Michael Fassbender, Will Arnett, Michael Shannon, and Wes Bentley.
Yeah. It had a killer cast, and I almost fell asleep during this movie. It was nice. So bad. It was a bad
It's okay. Movie. The other day, I saw a movie so bad, I actually got my phone out.
That's awesome. Adam's Family, right?
Yeah.
No one go watch Adam's Family.
Don't go.
But we still respect Zoe Quinn. We love you, Zoe Quinn.
And also in 2010, Red and Disgrace.
Yo, let's talk about Red for a second, though, because that's Bruce Willis, Helen Mirren came in the sequel.
Oh, like, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember hearing about that.
Yeah, it's a terrible... No, Helen Mirren was in the first one. That's okay, a terrible
Bruce Willis, Morgan Freeman, John Malkovich, Mary Louise Parker, Helen Mirren, and Carl Urban.
Mm-hmm. It's a fucking trash show. Also, that's the moment when I was like, oh, shit, I only like Bruce Willis because of Die Hard. I don't like any other Bruce Willis things.
I actually don't know that I've ever seen a Bruce Willis movie.
Yeah, I discovered that I
don't think I have.
Like, I think I genuinely dislike Bruce Willis, and I only like Die Hard.
I've seen Demi Moore movies.
The classic Charlie's Angels 2? That's your favorite Demi Moore movie?
I haven't seen any.
No one's favorite Demi Moore movie is Ghost.
No.
No one likes Ghost. Ghost is a terrible movie.
Yeah. This was sarcasm.
This was sarcasm.
2011, Transformers Dark of the Moon. 2012, Lines of Wellington. 2013, Warm Bodies. He was like the bad guy.
It's weird.
Siberian Education, Ecstasy, which is a short film, and Red 2. 2014, Cesar Chavez.
It's a good movie.
Penguins of Madagascar, Casanova Variations, and Cut Bank. 2016, Zoolander 2, unfortunately. Dominion. Deepwater Horizon. I've heard of that.
Which is also disappointing. It's the Mark Wahlberg movie, I think. Or is it the Hemsworth movie? Let's see.
It's the
Mark Wahlberg movie about the oil tanker.
Anyways. Psychogenic Fugue, which is a short film. 2017, Unlocked, The Wide Wedding, I Love You, Daddy.
Yeah, you do.
About Love, Only for Adults, and Bullethead. And then 2018, Supercon, Mile 22, Bird Box.
Yeah.
2019, Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil, and Vile. It's the first time I think I've ever said that in full on this podcast.
Congratulations. Proud of myself.
Velvet Buzzsaw, Eve, which is in post-production. Valley of the Gods, which is in post-production. And something called El Tonto, which is to be announced the release date because it's in post.
Yeah, for a second there, I was like, he was in Armageddon, right? But that was fucking Billy Bob Thornton. And oddly enough, you know what would have made Armageddon better?
What?
If it had John Malkovich in it. Because that movie has Billy Bob Thornton and what's his name? Steve Buscemi. Yeah, it has you need to complete the trifecta of weird, lanky, skinny dudes. Who are very famous actors. Come on.
What is Steve Buscemi doing today? Well, not today. Like, what is Steve Buscemi? Hold on. Let me find his Wikipedia. Go off.
No, that's what I'm saying. Tell me that those three people are not the same person. Like, not the same person. But tell me those three people don't go hand in hand.
They do.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's doing.
Wait. I'll look it.
I hate when actors have a different Wikipedia page for their filmography. It's great because it means that it's a shorter page, but like still. What is Steve Buscemi doing? I love Steve Buscemi.
Well, yes.
He was in The Dead Don't Die.
Yeah. Have you seen Boardwalk Empire?
No.
You should check. If you love Steve Buscemi, he's the lead actor in
Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah. He's doing The Dead Don't Die and an untitled Judd Apatow Pete Davidson. Oh, God.
Why do people listen? I think we only have like 2 listeners for the Shasta Picture Show. Mm-hmm. But if you've listened for a couple weeks, you probably know there's been a whole side story about us trying to figure out if Kate Beckinsale cheated on Michael Shannon.
Not Michael Shannon.
Michael Sheen.
Sheen. But with the director of Underworld, yeah, who then she married, got divorced from, and then was in a tiff with Pete Davidson, and then they broke up.
So the other day I finally got some news that I sent you.
Yeah.
It was definitely a fling with Pete Davidson, and then he dated Margaret Qualley, but they just broke up.
Why
are we getting into that kind of bullshit?
Also, why?
This is the most Us Weekly thing that we've done.
I love it.
Just get into Kate Beckinsale's.
Yes, because romance, no one gets into Kate Beckinsale. Everyone wants to know what the Jenners and the Kardashians are doing. Fuck that. I want to know what Kate Beckinsale's doing. I want to know what Mia Jojovic is doing. I want to know what those like mid-tier, high-tier, like extremely attractive, but for some reason never broke into the mainstream actresses are doing.
Nice. That's I can tell you what Michael Sheen is doing. He has a baby.
And Prodigal Son.
Yeah. And Good Omens.
Well, yeah.
Well, it's past, but
yeah. Good. Yeah. Yeah.
It's one of the best shows of the year.
Facts.
I got some Aziraphale and Crowley pins on Saturday.
You're turning into like
I'm a hoarder.
You're turning a hoarder and a Good Omens thought.
Hi, I already am a Good Omens thought and a hoarder. Hi, I'm Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
I'm 21 years old and I'm a hoarder. I was gonna tell you I'm changing my name to Priscilla Sugarland.
We love that. We love that. That's John Malkovich's career. What an odd career. Because not a lot of movies stand out, but somehow John Malkovich is one of the most important men in the history of cinema.
Great. I heard he's very nice.
Billy Bob Thornton, I've actually heard that he's a trash bag.
Yeah.
But Steve Buscemi, great guy, I hear. I hear he's a great guy.
John Malkovich is a great guy. He'll let you inside his brain. You just gotta call up Spike Jones to get the equipment.
Still such an odd movie. I love it.
I need to watch that movie sometime. I love
that movie. But first we need to watch Free Fire.
Yeah.
And on that note,
you ready?
Give your recommendation or favorite film, John Malkovich film you want everyone to watch.
Being John Malkovich.
For me, it is, even though he's not like the central character, as if he isn't Being John Malkovich. If she hadn't said it, I would have probably said Being John Malkovich. But now that she has said it, I might as well say another one. It's also a Spike Jones movie. You should watch Adaptation. Everyone should watch Adaptation. It is genuinely Nicolas Cage's best performance. And it is the best like meta. Oh, I want to be a Hollywood writer, but I can't be a Hollywood. Blah blah blah.
I know, like in the back of my head, the intention of making this segment about John Malkovich was to bring our meme full circle.
Yes.
And we rarely even mentioned Man in the Iron Mask, but it's okay.
I mean, because John Malkovich is better. Because
John fucking Malkovich
is better than you knew.
New.
Yeah. Don't watch Man in the Iron Mask.
What? Watch it for Jeremy Irons.
Yeah, because Jeremy Irons always tries.
To quote Joe Layden, but Jeremy Irons. He got so offended with me calling that movie trash.
We're gonna do one day a Jeremy Irons filmography, but I feel like the next time we have one of these filmographies is going to be about Spike Jonze.
Yeah, we should do a Spike Jonze episode.
Yeah. And on that note, shall we take it away, Rach?
Yes. Welcome to the rec room. It's all right today. The temperature's all right today.
Yeah, the weather is changing.
The weather's nice.
So it's not because the AC is working.
I'm actually wearing a hoodie.
It's definitely not because the AC is working.
I get very warm. I don't wear jackets or hoodies or sweaters often. So if I'm wearing a hoodie, it means the weather's nice.
Yeah. It's not because the AC is working in this room. It is genuinely because the weather outside is good. The rec room. Rachel, want to tell us some of your recommendations? Because I ain't got none.
Jackie Brown.
Oh.
Watched that for the first time last week. I liked it.
Yeah.
It like...
If we're going to put a memorandum on Green Book, at some point, we're going to have to put a memorandum on Quentin Tarantino.
Okay. I'm okay with it.
Okay.
After the Oscars, because Brad Pitt's going to win Best...
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Not now, because
we're getting into Oscar season.
February.
Yeah, and Once Upon a Time is the biggest movie going into the Oscars. We can't not talk about Quentin Tarantino. If
Joker doesn't... I'm all for Once Upon a Time winning Best Picture. Anyways.
I hope the controversy gets so high that they just give up and they're like, the easiest pick is we owe Quentin a Best Director Oscar, so we'll just give it to Quentin.
He's for sure going to get Best Original Screenplay.
Yeah, but he's always won that.
Yeah.
I think this, if Joker gets enough flack, this genuinely becomes the we owe it to Quentin year.
Yeah.
Like the Scorsese Departed year.
Fuck Scorsese. Anyways, yeah, no, like, this is going to sound stupid because I've seen almost his entire filmography now.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, like, people always talk about the Tarantino style of, mm-hmm. like, editing.
Yeah.
With, like, playing with time.
Yeah.
And stuff. And I feel like that, like, even though I've seen almost every other movie he's made,
uh-huh.
for some reason in Jackie Brown it hit different.
Uh-huh.
And I, like, fully understand the Quentin Tarantino editing style now.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I love Bad Times at the El Royale, which is mm-hmm. also a recommendation.
Yeah.
And it's very influenced by the Tarantino mm-hmm. style. And so, like, as I was watching Jackie Brown, I was like, shit. I was, yeah. like, realizing just how much. But, like, I know, like, other movies, like, Kill Bill and Pulp Fiction are good examples of the way that he does that mm-hmm. as well. But, like,
if I was
teaching... In similar ways, but, like...
No. This has always been a thing I've said because I'm obsessed with Quentin Tarantino. Like, I watch his entire film. I used to watch his filmography, like, pretty much every year. I was
yeah.
obsessed. I was that film buff guy. And then, so I always talked about how, like, if I had a film class and I had a section about nonlinear editing, I would show Hard Boiled and all those movies. But the Quentin Tarantino movie I would show wouldn't be Pulp Fiction or Kill Bill. It would be Jackie Brown. Because also Jackie Brown is
That's what I'm saying.
So...
Like, the style hit harder. Like, I understood yeah. it better watching
Because
Jackie
it's so
Brown.
Concentrated. You see, that camera always... Have you noticed how in that movie, like, a lot of the shots, even though they're white shots, they
yeah.
feel claustrophobic?
Yeah.
You... Because the scenes are full of stuff. So you literally are paying attention. It's like those people who sit in a museum in front of a painting.
Yeah.
And they just sit there.
And the transitions, bro.
Mm-hmm.
That hit.
Yeah,
hit
no.
the spot. The transitions in that movie just hit.
Yeah, that movie is genuinely...
Also, I didn't know I needed De Niro in a Quentin Tarantino movie.
It was supposed to be... I think it was supposed to be Harvey Keitel in it, but...
It was weird seeing him, like, still be a douchebag, but, like, be, like, a little awkward.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that you don't normally see De Niro in that kind
yeah,
of...
Yeah, it's weird. I also feel like that De Niro in that movie always felt super jarring, so...
Yeah.
But especially that weird sex scene.
That sex scene was really fucking weird. But yeah. the foot shot right at the beginning.
Yeah, this movie, I think, is the moment when everyone... That was the first, by the way.
The scene of him... Spoilers, even though this is an older movie. The scene, like literally the scene of him shooting the girl was very jarring.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's just out of nowhere.
Yeah. A lot of that... But by the way, that movie is one of the first ones where people were like, oh... Quentin has a thing for feet. Because in
yeah.
Pulp Fiction, it felt like because she was barefoot every scene she was in and she danced barefoot with John Travolta, a lot of people just thought it was like foreshadowing for the dancing scene.
Yeah.
And then her being overdosed. But in Jackie Brown, there was no reason for him to show that girl like painting her feet every other scene.
Yeah.
So that was the first moment where a lot of like fans weren't like, oh, okay.
He has a fetish.
Yeah.
Anyways,
the other recommendation,
Shrek the Musical
again.
Did I already recommend it?
We recommended this on the first episode.
Oh, okay, sorry. Peep Show again, following the trend of AK recommending something to me and then me watching it and then recommending it to you again. Peep Show,
whoa,
I'm very into it.
Yo, I'm glad. Yeah. Again, this will come back to haunt me and people will get upset at me. But you should fucking listen to me. It's a terrible fucking thing to say.
Yeah.
But I love it.
and then this isn't a real recommendation. Mm-hmm. because I watched half of it on Friday night drunk and I don't remember it. But Living With Yourself.
Oh, yeah, the Paul Rudd.
Yeah, drunk me was very freaked out by two Paul Rudds.
Two Paul Rudds.
I love Paul Rudd, though.
What should I recommend? I don't know. I don't think I have any recommendations. I definitely don't recommend the Watchmen series. I gave up 10 minutes into the episode and went into my room to write my article. Dude, I genuinely don't know what to recommend. Definitely. I will recommend it again. I will recommend, what's it called? Paul Thomas Anderson. What is the movie called?
John Malkovich?
No. Being John Malkovich is not Spike Jones.
Well, yeah, also recommend Being John Malkovich. Bless you.
Thank you, ma'am. Here we go. Yes, I recommend Boogie Nights. It's 3 hours long. It's a movie about a porn man doing porn things, and everyone should watch it.
Is Dustin Hoffman in that? Who is it? Is it
no,
Travolta?
No. It's Jeff Bridges. Jeff Bridges. Okay. Jeff Bridges is in that movie. And Mark Wahlberg.
Okay. Mark Wahlberg. That's who I'm thinking of. Mark Wahlberg. Why? I don't know.
Magnolia. Also, I think have you ever seen Babel?
No.
So it's Magnolia is like follows.
This is how my conversations go with a lot of people. It's like, have you seen this? And I'm like, no, because I watched mainstream movies until 5 years ago, and I'm still working on it.
Yeah, Babel had Brad Pitt in it. That's why I thought you watched it. It wasn't because it was mainstream.
I haven't gone completely on a Brad Pitt deep dive yet.
Yeah, it's Magnolia is a weird, like non-linear edited film. So if like you liked how Jackie Brown was, Magnolia is a weirder version of that. And on that note, I think we should wrap up because I have nothing. I've been watching The Good Place and The Peep Show. The same. So I wouldn't recommend The Good Show.
I've been watching more movies lately, but some of its stuff I've already seen. The Bronze.
Yeah.
I'll recommend The Bronze again.
It's We've my recommended favorite movie The Bronze to show. Four times.
It's my favorite movie to show to people.
Fuck. I feel like I've seen something recently. I'll recommend it next week. I have one, but I'll recommend it next week.
Okay.
All right. Let's wrap it up.
Cool. Let's go. So, hold on, because I still don't... All these episodes later, I still don't have our outro memorized. I'm sorry.
Hey, man. It's okay.
Anyways, opinions shared in this podcast do not reflect that of the University of Houston or the UH community as a whole. You can also listen to the Shasta Picture Show Mondays at noon on CooRadio.com, where we talk about recent film news. Follow us on Twitter at SGM Podcast and send any questions to ShastaGhostPodcast@gmail.com. Thank you to my co-host, AK.
Hey.
And thank you to the audience for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Walking slowly through tall grass.